Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 7. You know who it is. It's Ethan Weiss back at you once again. Week number 3 coming up. Giants 2-0. We're in great moods. We're going to get into everything. Let me take care of some housekeeping as per usual. Guys, go subscribe to our iTunes channel, please. Go. If you're listening to this, you're probably already subscribed. But if you're not and you're listening on Twitter, you're listening on Audio Boom, you just saw the link through one of our Twitters and you decided to listen but you're not subscribed, 5-star rating, review, funniest will get read on the show. It helps us climb the iTunes rankings. I know some of you guys listen every week. You ask questions. So why not help the show a little bit more? Go give us a nice rating. Also, I already plugged Twitter a little bit, but let me throw out the handles. Go follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. And that's basically it. You're going to have a lot of great content every day, Giants related, obviously. Weiss, how are you?
How's it going? 2-0. Very exciting time right now.
You couldn't be happier with the way this team is performing. We could start by looking back to last week and recapping everything that went on, giving our thoughts and feelings, and then move forward to the Redskins, week 3. I will be in the building, by the way, so the GIFs will not be on Deckington, unfortunately for you guys. But fortunately for you guys, I'll be there to mentally dominate the cornerback, whose name will not be spoken on this episode. And I'm gonna bring some signs that will be taunting the cornerback on the team from Washington, and it's going to be a great time. But let's go back to week 2. What are your thoughts on the game? There was a little bit I was frustrated with during the game I tweeted about, but overall very happy. I'll let you start. Just give me some of your thoughts.
It was a very weird game. I kind of left the game thinking, wow, how do we just win this game?
Yeah.
The Giants were very sloppy with the football. It almost cost them the game. But their defense played really, really well, holding Drew Brees and that offense to under 300 yards, 288 to be exact. The offense moved the football, was going up and down. Eli Manning actually threw for more yards last Sunday than he did last year in that shootout in New Orleans. They were able to move the ball, spread the ball around. The run blocking was frustrating at times, but I understood why they stayed committed to it. That's Ben McAdoo's motto. He likes to keep the balance and the tempo going.
You're touching on it right away. I mean, that was the part that frustrated me.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be
the run game, if you will.
It's gonna be frustrating, but look, at the end of the day, if the Giants are gonna be contenders, they're gonna have to win games like this, where the offense is not scoring a lot of points, but they're able to win together as a team. So, kudos to that. Good, deserving win. This defense, man, it continues to play well. It's very impressive how well they played this early in the season.
And it's so, at all levels.
Yeah, all levels. I mean, you talk about what was the weakness we had before the season? The linebackers.
Linebackers and defensive end depth.
And defensive end depth. I talked about the safeties. How will Landon Collins be? Landon Collins has just been a monster. Night and day difference. He's so much more comfortable. Look, I told a friend, I said, if I were to rank strong safeties in the NFL, I mean, it's hard for me not to put Landon Collins in that top 10, top 5, because he's played phenomenal.
Incredible.
These past 2 weeks. It's been amazing. And you have to be excited as a Giants fan when you see something like that. I think this defense is played well. I'm ready to see the offense get going, score some touchdowns. I didn't like the red zone offense at all. I thought they left a lot of points on the board. I think they should have won that game 27-10. But look, you take it, it's a win, and now we move on. So what are your thoughts on it?
There's a bunch of areas I want to touch on, and I'm going to go back and touch on a few areas that you did and kind of build on what you said. First, it was a sloppy game. in many regards. Okay, the Giants turned the ball over 3 times, and that's very uncharacteristic of this team. And it's especially rare to win a game where your opponent has a +3 turnover differential, which just goes more to back your point on how incredible the defense has been. That being said, we essentially saw the Giants' offense at probably the worst we're going to see it all season. Okay, we're talking about a banged-up Saints secondary. They're signing guys off the street. Delvin Bro has a fractured fibula. And, you know, Vegas obviously saw what happened last year, set the over-under at, like, 52. Didn't come anywhere close to that. So, one, that's props to the defense. And, two, it's just props because we're going to see this offense get better. And we spoke about it. Eli Manning threw for 386 yards, was it? And 3 of the 9 dropped balls were touchdowns. There was the Odell Beckham one. I think Larry Donnell had one. So, you know, we saw a sloppy offense going into that game, and I think they cleaned it up. And really, I think that's the worst we're going to see it, which is scary to think about considering the opportunities that they squandered themselves and the fact that a bad game was Eli throwing for 386 yards. So that's a point that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Because people are freaking out about the offense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then one thing I want to touch on when you bring up the Saints, I want to give them a little credit. I mean, I know they're banged up and they played with a lot of unknown guys in the secondary, but they were really prepared. They had a good game plan. They didn't want to allow the Giants to throw the ball deep. I know Beckham had that drop, but they were playing sometimes eight, 9 yards away. So they had a good game plan. I want to give them props. They did a good job. They played better than what they played in week one. I know everyone's going to be talking about why the Giants didn't score more points, but I thought the Saints did a good job. Their defensive coordinator, I think it's Dennis Allen, he really had a good game plan in there, and they took advantage of some of the Giants' weaknesses on offense. When we talk about those two tackles, they really did a good job attacking them, so I'll give them credit on that. But, you know, there were some things that, like you said, the Giants, they left some points on the board, a lot of drop passes. Eli Manning was phenomenal. I thought he looked better last Sunday than in week one. He was slinging the ball around, but again, I wanted to give the Saints some credit for playing with a lot of pride on defense in week two.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, moving on from the point that I had about, you know, this team squandering their own opportunities, I want to move on to another thing you spoke about, which was, you know, a little bit of the play calling. This team, and it's so obvious that this team's strength is in the passing game. You have Eli Manning coming off of a career-best season, throwing for 386 yards, and people don't even consider that, like, an amazing game from him because he didn't have the touchdowns. But, you know, no one's like, oh, my God, Eli, what an amazing game. You got Sterling Shepard, a second-round rookie, who had over 100 yards, caught all 8 of his targets for 8 receptions. 117 yards, was it?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
He was a beauty.
Victor Cruz, who I'm sure we'll get to, Weiss, because I know you want to, you know, get some words in on how I perceived Victor Cruz going into the season. But you know what? The best sort of PR is getting ahead of the game. And Victor Cruz looked phenomenal. He played every single snap on offense and obviously had the catch to set up the game-winning field goal from Josh Brown. And Odell, who a pedestrian game from him is 86 yards in 8 or 9 receptions, whatever it was. And people are freaking out, and we got some questions about, you know, his production, and we'll get to it. But the whole point that I'm trying to make here is you have a dominant passing game. And I know that you need to run the ball, but it's frustrating that, and it happened last year, and I thought it was kind of like a Coughlin thing, that this team refuses to use the pass to set up the run and just always uses the run to set up the pass. Now, they have run the ball well. I liked what Rashad Jennings did in week one. I like how they split carries between him and Vereen in week two. But I think that they just need to let Eli surgically dissect some of these secondaries, and it'll open up the ground game even more for guys like Jennings and Vereen. That's the end of that point. I'll let you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand where that frustration, but I mean, they did throw the ball 41 times. And so
it's more like a play calling thing. First and second.
I think it's not how many times you run, but at what times do you run? There was a lot of times where the run kind of stalled the drive or something like that. So I understand by that means it's not about how many times you run, but at what point in time do you run? But again, they need to do a better job in that area of run blocking. But a win is a win. But exactly. I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
Now, I think everyone is learning. I mean, Ben McAdoo is still, he's been an offensive coordinator for a while. He's been a play caller for a while. But now he's becoming a head coach. I think he's trying to implement his philosophy. I know you said it was a Coughlin thing. I think the Coughlin thing was more of the running back by committee and all that. I think with Ben McAdoo, the one thing I've learned about him is he's all about tempo and he's all about balance. And that he says if his offense is going to be successful, those things need to be in the Giants' favor. They're going to have to be balanced no matter how great their passing attack is. And I agree with you that they should be pass first. They should they should create the run by passing the ball in terms per se where the passing game open up holes for the running game. But Ben McAdoo likes the tempo and likes the balance, so you take the good with the bad, you know, in some sense. You're not going to agree with everything he does, but he can't deny he's done a phenomenal job.
No, absolutely, and I say that because, you know, obviously I get frustrated watching the game, but at the end of the day, I have no complaints with the way he's really managed the games. He's done it safe. He's trusting his defense, which is key because he actually has a defense that he can trust as opposed to Coughlin's defense last year.
Right.
You know, I didn't really touch on it. You touched on it a little bit. The defense is incredible at every single level. You have Eli Apple, and remember when we spoke about this last week with Dan, I brought up to him, I asked him, I said, hey, you know, do you anticipate Eli Apple getting, you know, a majority of snaps considering the type of offense the Saints like to run? You know, there you go. Eli Apple's out there playing phenomenal football. He had a great pass breakup on Brandon Cooks. We spoke about the whole DRC thing earlier. Preposterous. He's not the fourth cornerback.
That was off the air, but he's not.
That's pre-podcast.
We saw somewhere that he was the fourth string corner. That's not the case. It's just all about matchups with this defense.
Exactly.
They have depth, so they can do things like this.
Exactly. And we're going to get into that more because we did get a question about Devin Kennard. And obviously that plays into the whole depth and matchup question.
Even on offense, when people were talking about kind of spreading the ball around. But we'll get to it.
Absolutely. You know, the run defense, I can't praise it enough. You knew it was going to be good with Snacks coming in and Big Hank being healthy. I've harped on how underrated Olivier Vernon's run defense is. And I think he's shown people that he's not just a pass rusher. Many people believed when he came in, which was crazy to me. But, you know, health is key. If him and JPP stay healthy and that interior continues to dominate, it just makes life easier on the linebackers, who I think we can agree, despite how well they've played, they are the weakest group of this defense. It allows Landon Collins to thrive, as we've seen him come up and play incredibly well in the box. It allows Nat Berhe and Darian Thompson to stay a little farther back. I mean, it just seems like they're clicking on all cylinders, and it's hard to anticipate the Redskins doing any serious damage. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get to it.
So, I mean, I guess those are all my thoughts on how well they've played, how good they look, and the matchup with the Saints. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Going into Week 3,
mm-hmm.
who do you think is the biggest competition in the division at this moment?
The biggest competition.
And there's a bunch of ways that you can interpret this, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about this earlier. I think I got to give credit to Philadelphia. I think their rookie Wentz has played good so far. He doesn't control who he plays. He's done a good job. To me, it's still the Dallas. I know I said it's Washington before, but I just think we talked about this before. The same demons that were in the Redskins locker room last year.
Right.
We thought that they were gone when Griffin left, but they still seem to be there. And there's a lot of dysfunction there, and I think Jay Gruden is going to be on the hot seat if the Redskins keep going down. And Kirk Cousins has not looked good. So I'm going to go right now, if you would ask, I'm going to say Dallas, just because I think that with Dallas, and I know I said Washington before the season, but I'm going to go with Dallas right now because I think Prescott, Elliott, and Dez Bryant, I think, are, once they get their groove going and they have an offensive line like they do, and you spoke about it before the season, so I'm going to kind of repeat why you said at the time they were the biggest threat to the Giants, but I'm going to go back, and I think Prescott's going to continue to get better. So I'm gonna lean toward the Cowboys just because I think they have better weapons around their rookie quarterback than the Philadelphia Eagles do.
That's totally fair. You know, you can look at it from three different ways, in my opinion, and you can pick all three teams. I still think that the Redskins have, despite their locker room dysfunction and poor coaching and the less than ideal play from Kirk Cousins, I still think they have overall probably the most talented roster of the other three NFC East opponents. You could also look at Dallas and say, you know, they will get their defensive weapons back. They have the best offensive line. Like you said, once Dak and Zeke and Dez start to get more in a groove, you know, they could do a little bit of damage. And then you look at the Eagles, and anytime a team is off to a 2-0 start, and like you said, you can't pick your opponents. And it's something that I've harped on because, listen, I think the Bears and the Browns are going to go for a combined 5 wins. That, you know, Wentz has been good.
Yeah,
right? Hasn't been good. I need to see him play a good team, and that's going to be week 3 against the Steelers. I'm holding off my judgment. There's no denying he's been good, but I'm not yet ready to say, hey, the Eagles are a threat, considering the fact that they beat the Browns and the Bears. So, you know, with that being said, anytime you start 2-0, you should be considered somewhat of a threat because those wins matter. Now, I want to touch on one more thing before we look forward to the Redskins, and it might be a good transition, and it's something that my boy Ryan at Disdier Sports, I think that's how you say it, Disdier, D-I-S-D-I-E-R Sports on Twitter, wrote about today, about how the Giants, and it's only been 2 weeks, but how the Giants have really exercised their demons from last season. You saw week 1 where instead of a stupid mistake and poor clock management, they managed to hang on and beat the Cowboys. And as a matter of fact, it was reverse, and the Cowboys had the brain fart and the clock mismanagement and lost themselves the game. And then you go into week 2 against the Saints, where you lost in a shootout last year because the defense couldn't get a stop, and you win probably one of the lowest scoring games of the week. Obviously, Seattle was lower, but anytime you hold that Saints offense to 13 points is impressive. Another demon exercise. Now, they get to come in week 3 with the opportunity to do something that they refused or couldn't do at all last season and put a team away and step on the throat of the Washington Redskins and bury them at 0-3, move them to 0-2 within the division, and effectively ending their season and playoff chances, because starting 0-2, your playoff chances are, I believe, statistically 12%. 0-3 has got to be, you know, less than 5%. So if they could go in to the Meadowlands with my assistance from the stands this coming Sunday,
right,
and step on the throat of the Washington Redskins and a cornerback that plays for the Washington Redskins and is on their defense, whose name I will not say.
Right, and I won't say it either.
Good. Then, I mean, that's a third demon exercise, and this team is rolling.
Yeah, I think me and him kind of were thinking of the same thing. I harped on that too a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Before week 1, he calls the demons, I call them skeletons in their closet.
Either way, they're spooky.
With Dallas, look, if you look at last week, week 1, yeah, they are spooky. Last year, week 1, what was it? It was inability to score in the red zone.
Right.
What did they do against the Cowboys week 1? They score in the red zone, took the lead. And the defense got a stop, albeit because of a mistake by Terrence Williams. A lot of people said they would have made the field goal. I don't think so. It would have been 60-plus yards. But anyways, it's history. Week 2, they come out. Look, they gave up 52 to Drew Brees last year. This year, they hold them to 288 yards of total offense.
Yep.
And they win the game. And they win it, believe it or not. Last year, it was a loss because of, besides the fact that their defense couldn't stop the Saints, they lost it because of a special teams mistake.
Right.
Well, the only touchdown the Giants scored against the Saints was a special teams touchdown. So it's another opportunity this week, not just for the Giants, but for the Giants star receiver to redeem himself. And I don't mean by redeem. I don't want to make this about Beckham versus you know who. He has a chance to redeem himself by showing that no matter who the opponent is, it's not going to affect him. He's going to play his game. The Giants are going to play their game, and they are going to bury a team and go to 3-0. And essentially, in my opinion, put the Redskins season on life alert, because if you look at the Redskins schedule, they still got Arizona, they still got Carolina, and they still got to go to Dallas one more time, and they still got Philadelphia.
They have Minnesota at all?
I know they have a very tough schedule because of the fact that they won the division last year, but I know Arizona's on their schedule, I know Carolina's on their schedule, I know the Ravens are on their schedule, I know the Steelers are on their schedule, so... Well, they already lost the Steelers, but the Ravens are on their schedule. The Bengals are on their schedule. So they have and they got the Vikings and the Packers. So it is a tough, tough schedule for the Redskins. If they go down to 0-3, which I think they will, it's life support for their season, and it's going to get ugly in D.C.
If it wasn't ugly already, it's going to get ugly.
And it's ugly, guys. I'm in D.C., and it's a lot of turmoil here.
You want to touch on it? You want to touch on, you know, the media drama and the locker room drama?
The whole thing over here is, if you guys have been following the Redskins over the last couple of years, since Jay Gruden's got there, it's been Jay Gruden wanting to transition from Robert Griffin to Kirk Cousins because it was Jay Gruden who felt as though Cousins fit his offense better, which is fine. He made Cousins his guy, you know, his quarterback. What happens? Griffin gets out the door. In that process of Griffin's departure from the Redskins, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Gruden threw his quarterback under the bus multiple times. Multiple times. And now, what you hear from Washington about how, you know, players aren't happy with the way Cousins is playing, they've gone up to the coaches about it. Now, all eyes are on Jay Gruden. It's like, all right, you're going to blame your quarterback just like you blamed Griffin? But he didn't. He said, oh, it's more than the quarterback. Well, it wasn't more than the quarterback when Robert was there, and Robert didn't have as many weapons as Kirk Cousins has now. So it's a lot of turmoil here. And listen, if losing causes more of that. So if they continue to lose, you'll hear more of that. And looking at their schedule, it's tough, man. They got a tough, tough schedule the rest of the way. So we'll see what happens. But for me, it's the Giants continuing taking care of their business. If they do that and they play the way they've been playing and continue to improve, sky's the limit.
Absolutely, sky's the limit. All right. Let's move forward. Let's talk a little bit about Washington. We got a good amount of questions, so we can tackle those two. So let's, I don't know, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do questions and we can touch on the Redskins as we do questions, or let's just give a few quick thoughts on the game before we get to questions? I'm kind of opting for a few quick thoughts.
We can do either or.
Let's do a few quick thoughts.
We can do a quick thoughts. I know you got a lot of thoughts on the Redskins.
I got a lot of thoughts on the Redskins. All right.
Yeah, I'll let you vent a little bit.
All right. It's not so much venting, although let me say this: Brian Mitchell can eat a bag of dicks, because
oh my goodness,
Victor Cruz,
oh my goodness,
I pray that Victor Cruz, and this is, you know what, all right, fine, I'm just gonna come out and say I was wrong about Victor Cruz.
But
you know what, now he's gonna get injured, because that's just
we can tear that segment out of the show. All right,
I came out already. Okay, Victor Cruz does not suck. Victor Cruz is back. Victor Cruz looks great, as a matter of fact. And Victor Cruz is hopefully... Now listen to this, guys, real closely. That's me knocking on wood. Is going to stay healthy. I pray. Now, obviously, I want Odell Beckham to be lined up on overpaid cornerback number one for the Washington Redskins. But at the same time, I would love the satisfaction of just rotating all three receivers to the left side of the field so that both, and I say both, I mean all of Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, and Odell can expose the cornerback who only sticks to that side of the field. So, and all of them are capable of it, especially Odell and Shepard, because I truly believe there's no cornerback in the league that can cover those guys one-on-one. Especially if you have to double one of them, it's going to be impossible. So whoever gets stuck on the right side with Bashaud Breeland and whatever help is coming over the top. You know, you saw what Antonio Brown did to Breeland. Odell's capable of doing exactly that. And even if it is double team, Shepard's going to get his opportunities on overpaid cornerback number one for the Redskins. So offensively, I'm not too worried about it. I will be equally as excited as I am, as I will be disappointed if the offense kind of poops the bed and overpaid cornerback for the Washington Redskins kind of gets some shine. But at the end of the day, a win's a win. I think the defense is fully capable of shutting down Kirk Cousins. And I know that the Redskins offense has dynamic weapons. Okay, Jordan Reed is going to be a little bit of trouble for this defense. You can't forget about DeSean Jackson on the outside, because as ineffective as he's been, he still has the opportunity to burn you. We'll see a little bit of Doxson. We'll see a little bit of Matt Jones as well, though that running game with our run defense doesn't scare me at all. I really think that the Giants are the better team and should put the Redskins away. That's basically it.
I agree with you, and I'll start where you left off about the running game. I think the way I think the Giants are going to beat the Redskins is, I think defensively, I think they're going to stop the run. When they stop the run, they're going to make Kirk Cousins throw the football. When Kirk Cousins throws the football, history has shown, short-term history in the last 2 weeks, he has struggled to get his receivers the ball. And I think the secondary that they have in place, I think when you look at Janoris Jenkins and how great he's played, we talk about Landon Collins, but Janoris Jenkins has been phenomenal. You add on DRC, you add on Eli Apple, and it's just going to be about matchups. You match Pierre Garçon is the physical corner, so you match up the physical receiver, so you match up the physical corner. You match up that Eli Apple can be physical with him. I think the speedster Jackson, you might look at Janoris, you might look at DRC. Jordan Reed, it's going to be tricky. How are they going to play Jordan Reed? For me, I think it's you throw different bodies at him. You know, whether it's DRC, sometimes whether it's Landon Collins, whether it's Darian Thompson, whether sometimes you might throw a linebacker at him, they're going to have to mix it up and kind of frustrate Jordan Reed somehow, some way. But I think he's a great tight end, and I don't think the Giants have a guy that they can stick on him. So I think it's going to be a multiple thing. It's going to be up to Spags to kind of, you know, mix it up on how he plays Jordan Reed.
Absolutely.
Offensively, look. The Redskins the defense has been giving up a lot of yards, a lot of points. So for the Giants, I think they're going to have to, and people are going to hate me, but they're going to have to stick to the balance. Don't become a one-dimensional team. And, you know, you're going to have the receivers. You got to attack with the pass, run the football. Hopefully Rashad Jennings can go for them and play their style of offense. I don't think the Redskins will be able to stop them. And I think that we talk about the storyline. We're gonna touch on it later, but we talk about with some of the questions that people have. To me, the Giants just have to stick to their game plan and play their game. Eli Manning said it today. He believes his receivers can win on any routes against any of their corners, and if they just do that and play their game and not get into any nonsense with any of their DBs or any of their defensive players. They're in turmoil.
Specifically the overpaid one who only plays one side of the field.
Specifically a cornerback that, you know, everything you just touched on. they just have to play their game. And I think that if they play their game and they continue to make strides, they should win this game. This is two opposite teams coming into this. This is on one side, you got a team that's been horribly coached, has a quarterback who's playing very erratic right now, that doesn't have a locker room behind him. You have a defense who's pointing fingers all over the place, who's questioning their coaching. And on the other side, you got a Giant team who's coming in confident, ready to be 3-0, and ready to, like you say, put the Redskins away. So I think that be prepared, because I think last year they went into the game not prepared in that second meeting against the Redskins, and they showed in that game. They had a lot of mental mistakes, but this time just play your game and continue this redemption tour of last season, and they should win this game.
Agree. So, we touched on it. Let's go into questions, and the first one that I do want to talk about, and this is from Ryan, who I shouted out earlier. Well, he has two, so I'll ask the serious one first. Best way to stop Jordan Reed? Now, I think there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it. As we saw this past week, the Giants have a very diverse linebacking core. Okay, they don't really have one guy that can do it all, but they have a lot of guys who can do a lot of little things. So you have right. your matchups, and you're going to need your pass protection, your pass coverage, rather, linebackers getting a lot of snaps this game. The run doesn't really scare me with Matt Jones at all. Jordan Reed does scare me because the Giants historically have not played the tight end well on defense. So you're going to see probably a lot of Shepard, probably less Kennard, a good amount of Casillas. I think one good way to do this, and listen, I'm not a coach, so this may be a little too creative for some people. I think if Landon Collins can shadow Jordan Reed on the shallow routes and then get picked up by either Thompson or Berkey when he reaches that next level, I think that's a good defensive strategy. Obviously, like I said, not a coach, so who knows. But I think it really depends. It's a personnel issue. It's not really right. a talent issue. It's going to be about Spags getting the best possible matchup for his guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Jordan Reed, I don't think they'll be able to shut him down. It's going to be similar to what they did against the Cowboys. Witten will get his 8-9 catches. Jordan Reed will get his 7-8-9 catches.
It's about the containment. But
it's exactly. It's about the containment, about the tackling. No yards after the catch. Don't let him beat you on a big play. And what you do is you take those outside guys out. You take DeSean Jackson out. You take Garcon out. The Redskins, Kirk Cousins has thrown, I think, over 40 passes in both the last two games. He is very erratic right now, and I don't think his confidence level is that high. But I'm not a coach, and you said you weren't a coach. To me, you got to throw different things at him. It's all about scheme. Make him frustrated. You know, when he catches it, tackle him. 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards. Don't let him get into the open field. And I think it's kind of cliche, but beat him mentally. You know, try to get into him, frustrate him. You know, be physical with him. And I think that if they do that, Kirk Cousins, I don't think will be able to comprehend that offense if they can somehow get Jordan Reed off of their game a little bit. But they don't have one guy that they can throw at him. If you're looking for one guy, it could be DRC, but Jordan Reed is kind of like a big dude for DRC. But to me, it's going to be a number of guys and beating him mentally and not allowing him to beat you for that big play. Keep his confidence level low.
Yeah, no, agree. Ryan's second question was, he'll be at the game as well. What should he put on his anti-he who must not be named sign for tailgating and the game? I already have my poster boards planned out. One side is going to say, insert overpaid cornerback's name here, murdered Harambe.
Oh, man.
The other side is going to say, overpaid cornerback's name still uses MySpace. So those are going to be my two signs for the game in case you guys wanted an idea of how hyped up I am for the game. let's get to a few more questions. I don't. How long are we running on time? I think we're still good.
We're good, but there's a lot to talk about.
There is.
There's a lot going on. This is a big week, right?
It's a good problem to have.
Exactly.
This is Joe Bulger. Is Eli trying too hard to spread the ball around to his three wide receivers? Might that be why OBJ seems off pace?
Odell Beckham is not off pace. He's not off pace. We both agree on that, right?
Correct. Yeah, he's not. I think like 96 receptions and like 1,200 yards. Let me say something right now. That's bad for him.
Yeah, I want to say one thing. Yesterday, I'm not going to mention the news outlet or I'm not going to mention the writer. I came across an article that told me, and you guys have probably already seen it, that said that it was just bogus to me. It talked about nonsense, but I'm going to break it down to you. It told the reader that Odell Beckham needs to reemerge against a certain cornerback. And they went into detail about how that certain quarterback can get inside Odell Beckham's head, talking about how he's been off to a rough start the last two games. Got me thinking, he's on pace for 90-plus catches and 1,200 yards. So it was a very poorly written article, so I just want to share that. Yeah. Because this has to do with this question. Eli Manning is going to hit the open guy. I keep trying to tell everybody this. They have weapons. I know people have not been used to the Giants having this good of a roster.
Exactly.
But this is a good football team. This is a football team that can win multiple ways. Odell Beckham drew 40 yards of penalties on top of his 41 yards of penalties on top of his 86 yards of receiving. If you want to go after him about the drop touchdown because he was on your fantasy team, because you want to gloat to your friends about his stat line, I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of him. But the Giants won the game. He, 10 out of 10 times, will probably catch that ball again. It happens. Everyone drops passes. Antonio Brown dropped a pass, too. It's going to happen. Everything is fine.
A lot of wide receivers had bad weeks, week two.
Yes, I think Odell Beckham has kind of spoiled everybody. He's coming along. He's getting doubled. He's opening things up for other people, and it's all that matters. As long as we keep winning, it doesn't matter about his stat line. He's going to get his looks. He's going to get his catches. Don't worry. Let's just keep playing.
And I think here's the problem, and you touched on it a little bit. Giants fans are somewhat spoiled with Odell because the past two seasons, the Giants have been bad, and Odell has been the saving grace. At least we can look up to Odell. Odell's been amazing. He's the best wide receiver in the league. Look at these stat lines. It's Randy Moss-esque. I know. I've done it. I'm guilty of it. Eli Manning has weapons now, and I think people need to learn that and get used to that because Odell's going to get his chances. Okay, don't get me wrong. But you now have a healthy Victor Cruz and a Sterling Shepard. I mean, this is like the best wide receiver trio Eli Manning has had maybe ever. So I think everyone just needs to calm down a little bit about Odell and his pace. He's on pace. You know, he didn't catch the touchdown. You're not going to see too many more of those bad drops. Don't worry about it. Relax.
Yeah, just relax.
Just relax, guys. All right. This one is from Nick Becht. Nick, thank you for the question. Nick sends in questions every week, which means he is a loyal listener. So that's cool. We could say we have one of those.
That is cool.
Devin Kennard. I haven't heard his name much so far. Is he just getting lost in the shadows of the defensive line or Casillas? I think we touched on this earlier. It's just a matchup thing. I think
exactly.
He played a good amount week one, but because of the matchups, he just only got 10% of the snaps week two.
Big thing about Kennard is let's try to get him to play a full season.
Right.
Continue to develop him and take it from there. I think it's matchup things, but most importantly for Kennard is keep him healthy, keep him developing through this season, and let's see what he can continue to get better. So no need to worry about Kennard.
Sure. Nick Johnson, another loyal listener. Which of our three main receivers has the best year stats wise? Do they contribute to Eli having a great year stats wise? Yeah, obviously Eli's gonna have an amazing year stats wise, and I think the answer is still Odell because Sterling Shepard is not a top three receiver in the league, but Odell is a top three receiver in the league. So at the end of the day, he's going to have the most impressive stat line.
Ditto to everything you said.
Awesome. Old Dirty Beckham. Okay, so this is something that we didn't really talk about that we should talk about now that it got asked. Should we be nervous about Newhouse going down with Beattie not ready? An interesting question. Newhouse is going to be out. Do we know if Beattie's going to be ready yet? Because I haven't honestly read that much about it.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing. If Beattie is ready to go, he'll step in there. I think he will step in there and play. If not, Bobby Hartson, kind of get a little worried about that. But I think the right side of the offensive line is going to be something to worry about. Both tackles still. Although, I will say, even though Ethan won't admit it, Eric Flowers has looked okay these last 2 weeks. I've always said the big test, even from before the season started, the big test for Flowers will be Preston Smith week three. So that's when we'll see Eric Flowers. But he has done a good job. I like Flowers' footwork. It's much better than last year. Hands are still an issue, but it's a progress thing. So as far as Beattie goes, I think Beattie will step in. And depending on how he plays will be depending on if we should be nervous or not.
Yeah, I mean, I would say throw a tight end on that side of the line, but honestly, Danelle and Ty probably make things worse. So it's going to be interesting at the least, and something to definitely keep an eye on. End of the day, we really don't know. Maybe they throw BD and Hart out there in a jumbo tight end look. Who knows? All right. NY Tall People asks, OV was wearing a huge wrap on his wrist and looked limited. How concerned should we be?
That is true. He was wearing it.
He was. My answer is JPP is playing with half a hand, so I wouldn't really worry about Olivier Vernon. And if he's playing, you know, I assume he's healthy enough to be effective.
Yeah, I think it's more of a pain tolerance thing. We'll find out. I think we'll find out more about that tomorrow when the injury report comes out. But I think with OV, if it was bad, I think we've heard it by now.
Yeah.
I just think it's a pain tolerance thing for him. I mean, that I remember the brace on the wrist was kind of big, but I think it's, we'll see. We'll find out more tomorrow. I don't want to kind of make people worry or not worry.
Yeah.
But he played with it, so we'll see. We'll see if he's limited throughout the week. I think it's more of a pain tolerance thing with OV.
Yep. Michael Miano, can Collins step up and lock down Jordan Reed in the middle of the field? Something that we just spoke about. It'll be interesting. I don't know how often they're going to put Collins on Jordan Reed. He will be playing up in the box like he has been, so it's possible that we see a couple of defensive looks that have Collins covering Reed. But for the most part, I think they're just going to rely on their linebackers to stay in coverage.
Yeah, I will say is if any of you guys have Game Pass, go back and watch. I did this. Go back and watch last year's game from the first meeting in New York. Collins played well on some plays, played bad on some plays on Jordan Reed. Given he was a rookie, he did okay. They're going to try different things, like me and you have said throughout the show. So Landon Collins will probably not be on him, like shadowing him.
Right.
But you will see him on him a couple times. But I think Landon's strength will be playing more at the line of scrimmage and going after Cousins and the running back out of the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough positive things about Landon Collins. He was hitting hard. He was in the backfield making plays. He had a sack. He was phenomenal. I love it.
You know what he is? He's a football player. No.
I love that cliche. Know, that's like my favorite cliche.
He's a football player. He can play. You know, he's just the guy that you plug in on that defense and you put him at different spots and you just watch him make plays.
Yeah.
You know, play him to his strength. And I think that's what they're doing.
Right. Finally. That was the problem last year. He's not a good coverage guy.
No, he's not. It's not that he can't get better in coverage. I just think his strength is more. He's not a liability in coverage like many people say. I think he's done much better this year.
Yeah.
But he's play him at his strength. Take advantage of his strength. He's a football player. I mean, he's guy from Alabama, man, I liked them a lot coming out of college. I just was hoping they wouldn't play him the way they did last year, but they had to. So
yeah, but last year, I mean, sheesh! Between him and Merriweather, that we had no one that could cover deep.
No, it was bad.
It was awful.
You gotta like what you see from Landon.
Oh, absolutely,
love him.
Sorry, Mark, we already touched on your question. It was a BD or Hart for right tackle. We already went over that. ONJ. Will Rashad Jennings play, and if he does, will his wrist hand injury make it hard to hold on to the ball? I don't think so. I think it's his thumb was in a wrap today.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it'll make that much of a difference. And regardless, last week we saw basically an even split in carries between him and Vereen when Rashad was healthy. So I don't think it's going to make a big difference, but I think he will play, and I don't think he'll have any trouble holding on to the ball.
Yeah, me neither. I think he insisted that he's playing. We'll see more tomorrow.
Yeah,
when they start practicing, so we'll see. I mean, I think if he can't play, then you got Darko will step in with Vereen, and maybe a little bit of Paul Perkins. But I think from the looks of it, what Jennings says, it's his thing is also more of a pain tolerance thing.
Yeah. White Wolf asks, after the Green Bay game, do you think the Giants can go on a 6-game win streak?
One game at a time.
First of all, one game at a time. Two, Green Bay hasn't looked good.
No.
A lot of people assumed that with Jordy Nelson back this season, that he would all of a sudden fix every problem on this offense. That's not true, okay? The problems are deeper than that. It's the offensive line, it's the run game, it's the coaching. So
it's the It's the play calling.
McCarthy's play calling is goddamn. It is atrocious. You know, it's watching that game is frustrating. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers puts up with it. So, you know, I don't know why everyone's like hyping up Green Bay. I think Minnesota will be a tough challenge. But honestly, just looking at the schedule, there's not a single team that the Giants can't beat. So
yeah,
one game at a time. Let's worry about Washington. But at the end of the day, I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning of the season, I'll touch on it a little bit. From the beginning of the season, when the schedule was first released, we looked at it and said, okay, they can beat Dallas probably, you know, if they play well. Okay, they beat New Orleans. Okay, they beat Washington 3-0. A lot of people had them 3-0. It was the Green Bay and the Minnesota game. But when you look at Minnesota now, Sam Bradford's the quarterback. He played well. Adrian Peterson is out. So we're going to see how that affects them.
Yep.
So it's not like they're unbeatable. They are beatable. And we have, I think, the team that could possibly beat them. I'm not going to sit here and say that we are going to beat them, but we have. It's not. They're not unbeatable, and Green Bay hasn't looked that great.
Yeah.
So, you know, Giants. It's just one game at a time. You play Washington, then we looked at Minnesota. We beat Minnesota, then you look at Green Bay. You just take it one game at a time, and just continue playing your game. That's it. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Hate to give that cliche one game at a time answer, but that's just the way it is.
No, totally cool. And my notes just quit out again. Oh, there we go. All right, last question before we wrap up here. Giants Nation asks, do you believe we are a legit contender or will we stumble at some point? I think if the team stays healthy, they're a legit contender. I mean, they have the chance to put away one of their opponents this week. If they beat the Redskins, then it's just worrying about the Eagles and Dallas. So, absolutely, they're a contender.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, when you say legit contender, I'm assuming you mean to compete for more than just the NFC East.
Yeah.
I think so. I think in this league, you need a defense and you need a quarterback. And the Giants have both those things. They have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, and they have a defensive coordinator who, when he's had a good defense, specifically a good pass rush, he's been able to do special things with them. Now it's going to come down to, like you said, health. It's going to come down to consistent play, and it's going to come down to continuing to win these games and continuing to get better. They can't win every game 13, 16, 19, 20.
Yeah.
There's going to be times when their offense, when their defense has struggles, their offense is going to have to score more points.
Yep.
There might be more times where the offense struggles because of, you know, certain personnel. They're going to need the defense to step up. So it's going to be all about how they play together as a team. They won't be able to win just by being scoring 30 points a game, 35 points a game. They won't be able to do that. They're going to need consistent effort on both sides. And I think if they continue to get that, which I think they will, they can contend, man. Like I said, sky's the limit for this team. We still have to see more. Competition is going to pick up for them. Like we just talked about, Green Bay, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, a lot of more tough competition for them, and if they continue to trend in the right direction, we'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
This is the NFL. In the NFL, it's unlike the NBA and, you know, other leagues. In the NFL, every year there's about 10 to 15 teams who you can say have a legit chance to make a run. You know, when you look at it, like in the NBA, it's two teams now. It's Cleveland and Golden State. But when you look at the NFL, there's more teams, there's more parity in the NFL. There's more teams that can, you know, put together runs, get hot, make a run in the playoffs. And I think that's what it's going to be about for the Giants. I think if they're going to be a contending team, they're going to have to get hot at the right time, continue to play well. And there's many. Every team has flaws. There's not one team that's a perfect team right now. Like, if I were to ask you, what's a perfect team to you? You know, are you saying New England's a perfect team? I don't know. I can't say that yet. It's only been two games. Can you say, you know, Denver's a perfect team? No, you can't. So you have, like, people have to understand when it comes to the NFL is any team is beatable if you have the right game plan and you have the right coaching and you have the right, you know, mindset going into the game. You can win. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday.
That's what I was about to say. Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday. So, you know, there's no best of seven series. There's no best of three, best of five. It's 60 minutes, man-on-man football. And, you know, that's what they have to do. And we're going to see more and more throughout the season. I have high hopes for this team. I'm not going to say that word, that super yet, but we have to see more. But I do think they're a legit contender. Because they have what a legit contender needs. A quarterback, defense, and if you want to add on a star receiver who can change a game in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for the show. Guys, thank you for the... All right, let's do... you want to do predictions, score predictions?
Yeah, go ahead. You go first.
All right. Obviously, picking the Giants to win. I'm going to give them a score... 31-17. How about that?
31-17?
Yeah.
I'll do... I think the offense gets it going to an extent. I think they score more than 20 points. I'm going to say 27-20. I think the Redskins fight hard in this one, even though we've talked about their turmoil.
Yep.
I think they fight hard, make a little run at the end, but the Giants shut the door on the Redskins and go to 3-0 and get ready for that big stretch of two good teams.
Let's do it. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Once again, subscribe to the iTunes channel, follow us on Twitter, and we will speak to you when the Giants are 3-0.
Yeah, guys, subscribe. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it, and... get ready for the Redskins.
Let's do it. Go Giants.
That's right. Take care.